everybody. Thanks for tuning into episode 106 of Your Overseas Connection. This is the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gamingfortheelderly.com. But, of course, we take anybody over the age of 18. If you're under 18, well, you're just out of luck. Hey, I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and joining me this week, Mr. Patient, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Yes, I am the most patient of patientist people because I in no way have spent the last 45 minutes urging you to just start the fucking show. All right. Hi, everyone. CPM1376 on your Xbox Live. CP Matthew everywhere else. Yeah, let's get on.
Let's get it on. All right. And also joining us this week, tucked away nicely, cozily, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello.
Hello.
It's nice to see you're awake.
Yeah, I made the grave mistake of going to bed to do this podcast. And like Chris says, 45 minutes to get fucking started. I'm going to start fucking falling asleep in a minute. Come on, get on with it.
You know what your first mistake was? You know what your first mistake was? You got out of bed this morning. Mistake number one.
Yeah, cheers for that.
And you can always blame Canada.
Yeah, can do.
Yeah.
Top part of the world.
All right, so...
free anyway.
Besides the two of you, we have, of course, Mr. Michael Chin.
Hello! Do we still give out gamma tags on this stuff?
Or? We do. I think Mr. Primrose decided against it because he's boycotting. He just wants to go to sleep. But you know.
I'm just going
to
move on. I'm just going to... Okay, gamma tag Chin Chin-E, PlayStation Network tag Chin 1985. And breathing, winning, right? Yeah, hello. How is everyone? Done.
Brilliant. Last but not least, Mr. Richard Webster.
Hello, evening. Hello, all. Gamertag is Big Bad Daddy with a one because I'm leet. I'm on Raptor and all that stuff. And I just wanted to say that I read in a book somewhere, you know, that.
What kind of book?
Friends. Yeah.
What kind of book?
What?
What kind of book is that?
Just a book.
Just,
yeah, just a nondescript book.
What was the name of the book?
Just how to get things done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This lift's not working.
Yeah. Yeah. I read in a book that, you know, to keep your friends close and to drill that love, you got to turn up once every while on a Tuesday. That's where I am.
Yeah.
Woo!
Good to see ya. Good to hear from you, brother.
Yes, it's good. Good to have everybody here. It just feels like old times.
We're like the Brady Bunch on that Skype video, aren't we? On that thing. We can see all our faces.
Yeah. jokes that no one else can see.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's talk about video games. I think it's important that we do that because this is a video game podcast, not a movie podcast.
Greg, you got to give me a better indication of when to play that clip. I mean, jeez. What kind of indication was that? This is not... I mean, no.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, please. Hey, so it's a packed house, so I figure we might as well just run through this as quickly as possible-ish. Mr. Big Bad Daddy, why don't you fire it up first?
Oh, wow. I'm in the hot seat. Right. I played Back to the Future on the PC.
And?
I didn't play it much, but it's very short, so I didn't want to just burn through it in 5 minutes. So I played a little bit, and it's quite good. It's kind of like an over-the-top sort of cartoony version of what Back to the Future is. And it's a spin-off of the films. Like, it starts off on the Twin Pines Mall, and Annie goes off in the time machine. And then they go, oh, he's due back now, and then, like, he doesn't come back. And they're wondering why Annie didn't come back. So it's kind of like a new story.
Okay,
it's quite interesting, and it's quite funny. And
the humor—the humor's all there.
Yeah, the humor's there. Doc sounds really old, though. He sounds really ill.
He is old.
really yeah. old, though. Kind of makes sense.
He just sounds really ill. Does
Christopher Lloyd is yeah. an old man.
Now, did they get him for the voiceover?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah.
He's no spring chicken.
He is really old.
Christopher Lloyd is 72 years old.
he was 72 years old in 1955, so...
So he's old. Playing with the time, like, you know? Yeah. Maybe he has a real time machine. But yeah, 25 years ago he did that. So he's getting on.
But it's actually good. I don't know if you've played it yet, Mike, but it is actually all right.
I haven't, because it's not available on the UK PlayStation Network store.
Yeah, I downloaded the demo, so I'm going to check it out.
I played it on the iPad and was having fun with it, but it seemed to have some technical issues, so I'm hoping that it's going to get a patch soon, and then I'll pick it back up.
All right.
It should be. It's, it, you know, good developer. So they should sort you out.
Who is it that does that game? Is that Telltale?
Yeah, Telltale. Mm-hmm. They make CSI and Sam & Max and all that stuff.
Wallace and Gromit.
Yep. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, what else? What else is on the playlist?
I bought Shadow Broker for Mass Effect 2. Not played it yet, but I bought it, so I'll be playing that soon.
Yeah, and am I reading...
The best... DLC out of the lot, right, Shadowbroker?
Yeah.
It was the only one that's 800, so I thought it was the only one that's really worth it.
What was the one just before it with the big
the
vehicles?
The arcade jump one.
Yeah, that one was alright. Shadowbroker was pretty good, though. It was cool to kind of, you know, because you meet Liara in the game there. Spoiler, sorry.
Yeah, I always wanted to do a little thing in the game, and thought it was I wondered why, and now I know, because they wanted the DLC.
Yeah, it was nice to kind of finish up that story, though.
Yeah, because you meet Liara, don't you? And she's got that problem with the Archangel. And she's like, oh, you know, can you help me out? And then you do, and then you never hear anything about it again, do you? She just kind of handles it herself, well, you assume, until this DLC. So, I will pick it. How much is it, Rich?
800 points.
And All of them. No. Just the Shadowbroker, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was on sale not so long ago for like 400, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, but I didn't know. So,
Hey, if you had listened to the show, my friend.
I'm on the show and I still didn't get it.
That was a twat that got Pac-Man for 800 and then the week after it was 400.
Oh, I remember why I didn't get it, because you know, that week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. It was during that, and I wasn't anywhere near my podcast that week, so... My podcast, my Xbox, I don't know, I'm going crazy.
Your podcast and your Xbox, they're one and the same. Hey, Rich, am I reading correctly? You're playing Mass Effect 2 for the third time?
I didn't finish it for the second one, but I'd start it again. I got quite towards the end.
Why did you finish the second time?
Because I got bored of being an evil character.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it again and get to, I can't remember what it is, but I'm going to play it two more times.
Holy smokes.
Because I want to play it full as Renegade, but I don't want to have a Renegade character for Mass Effect 3, so I'm going to play it again as a Paragon.
Interesting. Right. I wonder how
they'll handle... Our first play was Renegade, all Renegade.
I was going to say, I wonder how they'll handle the game saves for Mass Effect 3.
Well, you could on Mass Effect 2, you can just pick multiple saves.
Right, you can pick, yeah.
Oh, can you? Well, that might save me 45 hours.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because Dragon Age 2 handles it that way. If you want to import a save file, it asks you and shows you all the save files and actually shows you where you were in the game. So it'll tell you what kind of character you were, how far you had progressed in terms of level, and kind of where you were in the world.
Gives you kind of the highlights, like, you know, you saved Williams or you saved Alenko, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So if you have, if you finish the game three times and you have three saves, Rich, there'll three options will come to import and you just import them.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good, because that's just saved me so much time. I'll be able to play another game, like some bowling game that I've been hearing so much about.
Oh no.
Yeah. I could recommend.
Yeah.
Great game. Should play that one immediately.
Absolutely.
I've bought it from Zavi because I want to pay 50 quid for it.
anything else on the old playlist there, Rich?
Yeah, just two more things, mate. I picked up SmackDown, the new one, you know, 2011.
Okay.
Because I do like the odd SmackDown game, but I don't buy it every year. I just buy it like every two, because you don't really notice the improvement, because I'm not a FIFA kind of guy. And I don't buy it for 40 quid either, because it's not worth it, because it's not really a very good game. But so I waited till it was like 20 quid, and it's actually all right. It's really
good.
It's good
for 20 quid?
It's good for 20 quid. It's fluid. There's like, they've got an actual physics engine now. It's not just all stiff. So like, in the past games, if you had, say, you picked up a set of ladders, you know, for like ladder matches and all that, you used to like drop them on the floor. They'd just sort of land on the mat. But now they sort of position on the rope, and the rope moves, and you can put stuff on top of stuff, and it's like a whole new thing. So it makes it kind of more fun. It's 10 years late because wrestling's shit now. So
yeah,
if the game was there 10 years ago, it would be fucking awesome. But yeah.
Can I ask you this? So I played SmackDown like way back on the old PS1 days, right?
Yeah.
And it was fairly simple. Like you had each of your moves was mapped to a face button and which direction you pushed the D-pad. So you had essentially 12 moves that were mapped to the face button that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still like that? So it's fairly simple to control?
In a way, mate, yeah. How they do it now is... I'll try and explain it now. The right analog stick is your move button. That's how you do move with the right stick.
Ooh, okay.
If the character's just standing there and you press up, you'll do like... I can't remember what they call it, but it's like a move that gets into moves. So you'll press up and you'll grab like their arm, and then you can press any four directions and do moves. And the same again, you can press down and you'll like grab the leg, and then you can do four moves like that. And then there's a different set of moves for when they're groggy and stuff, so... They've tried to sort of give you like 40 things you can actually do with one button.
Hmm.
And you can free run now. And back in the day, you just press Y and you just used to run. But now you can hold down, I think it's the left bumper, and you just run wherever you like. Just hold it down.
Sure. I wanted to see if there's a demo for it or something.
Well, they've kind of got rid of season mode as well, which is strange. They don't have a season mode anywhere. They just have like... and a constant evolving. You all play sports games in some fashion, you know, like just an exhibition game, one team versus another team or whatever. Well, that when you do that now, that kind of creates like your own universe in your game. So like the stories and stuff create out of what kind of matches you just decide to play. So the stories will be different and rivalries will just come out of nowhere. So they've not, the storyline is not like, you know, you play it once, then you'll play the same thing a million times. Understand?
Yeah, like, yeah,
are there cutscenes when they do that?
Yeah, yeah. Like I just went on the other night because I watched a thing, and I just went on and I was like, oh, I feel like playing as Kane and going against the Undertaker just in an exhibition match. And then during my entrance, the Undertaker come out and started twatting me, and then like it started when we were on the ramp. So it was just like a random thing, and it's quite cool how they've done it. It's like it's more fleshed out, more dynamic.
So, did you create your own character, or do you pick existing characters?
Yeah, I created my own as well. And if you play as your own character in exhibition matches, eventually the game will start noticing that you're that guy, and you want him to be your fella. And it'll start putting you into, like, number one contender matches, and start giving you rivalries and all that sort of stuff, just from exhibition, so it's quite good.
So, whose introduction music did you pick?
Me own. I've got Metallica. You can use your own music on your Xbox.
Oh, what about your... Does it give you a video? Do you have an intro, like a Jumbotron video?
Yeah, at the moment I've just got the WWE logo, but you can actually make your own Titantron videos by... Because in your matches, whenever you pull off like a good move or a high-risk move or something, it sort of records it as like a replay, and then you can
highlights.
Go in. Yeah, and you can put all your highlights together and add text and effects, and you can make your own video. And what else is cool though is, you know, like you can create your own characters and teams and logos. You can paint your own logos like Forza style. You can make your own highlight reels and all that sort of stuff. You can upload them to the network and you can download people's and stuff and high rated. So you can go on and like Hulk Hogan's not in the game, but if you just type Hulk Hogan in, you'll get like the highest rated, you know, the best Hulk Hogan that people have made, and you'll be able to download it. And so it's quite good. It is. It's really good.
It sounds like you can customize a lot of things in that.
Oh, yeah.
If I didn't know better, I'd be like, man, this sounds like Game of the Year.
I used to love I don't like wrestling, but I used to love wrestling games on the N64. I used to think they were brilliant. But
yeah,
kind of grown.
But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. Just the customization and stuff, what you can do in it, it's really good. But I don't really want to speak about this next game. You know how we go on about them every now and then? Now that one's actually come, I'm quite embarrassed.
Okay.
I've been playing, like the millions of other people in the UK, which we'll find out later. Spoiler alert. I've been playing Pokemon Black.
That doesn't really surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you've got your Nintendo DS love.
Mm-hmm. I have. And you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, I'm the kind of guy, I'm not the kind of guy that plays the new game every week. I'm not interested in being that guy. And, you know, I like my own little niche games. I like playing Smack Your Mom Down and Pokemon.
It's not you, Greg. It's not you.
Yeah, I'm not you. I'm not Stu, either. Mm. Oh, I played Bulletstorm this week because it came out today.
He only likes weird things and things that are not popular.
Yeah.
So.
But, I don't really know what to say apart from it's kind of just, like, awesome.
It's like Pokemon.
Yeah, it's Pokemon, but, like,
new Pokemon in there, some old ones taken out.
Just now, what makes it black?
Well, the colors are very dark, you see.
Yeah, it's weird because the Pokemon that you catch in the game, the main one that's on the cover, is white, so it's strange. But what they've done is, in the past, with the two different games, you'll just be able to, like, catch some Pokemon on one and some on another. But in this one, like, the whole, sort of, in a way, the whole game's different. Like, a lot of the towns will just look different, and in one game, there'll be a complete, like, big city, but in the other game, it'll be, like, a forest city and stuff. So they've tried to sort of change it up to make you buy both, which I did.
So really, the color just, you could almost say it's like their numbering system. So instead of saying Pokemon 2 and Pokemon 3, it's just Pokemon Black, Pokemon Gold, Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Pokemon Teal.
Yeah, like Call of Duty Black
Ops. Chartreuse.
Yeah. Chartreuse, yeah.
Like Call of Duty Black Ops. Hey, so can I ask you, this is what all the readers really want to know, Rich.
Mm-hmm. All the readers?
Readers, the listeners, whatever. Do you gotta catch them all?
Well, I'll tell you now, in one of the towns there's a building, and it breaks the fourth barrier here, but there's a guy you speak to, and he says, "Hi, I'm the director of the game. If you catch all the Pokemon, come see me for a fantastic reward." So you gotta catch them all.
You'll
get a reward.
That's what she said.
Oh.
How many are there in the game?
There's 150 new ones, I think, and there's like 350 previous ones.
For a total of 500, for those of you without your calculators handy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How have you ever caught them all in one game?
In one sitting?
in one of the Pokemon games.
No, because it's only possible in the very first ones, you know, Red and Blue. It's only possible in them, really, because Pardon?
So it's not even possible to catch them all?
Well, the only way you'd be able to do it is if you caught every Pokemon you could in your game, so in Black, and you had a friend who caught every Pokemon that they could in White, and then you traded the ones that you didn't have, so you couldn't catch in your game. But then there's also Pokemon, like, you can only get at Nintendo events, like special Pokemon. You go there and they, like, download it to your game for you. So it's kind of like
it's a big scam.
It's a big email scam, yeah.
So yeah. Pokemon is the equivalent of I've got an email from someone from Nigeria who's a prince.
Right.
It's the Pokemon's that, right?
It's the equivalent of those stupid dolls from Fable 2.
Okay. Mr. Webster,
I've got all that.
Anything else?
Just one quick thing. Although Pokemon is awesome and the game's upgraded a lot and it's a really improvement, the sprites, I don't know if you'll understand that word, Greg. You don't seem really big on retro, but the sprites
like
that they
sprites.
Use.
I know. I may not be big on playing retro games, but I know what a sprite is. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
well,
a drink.
You've just impressed me.
It is a drink. Hello.
It's also a mythical creature that causes mischief.
Yes.
Well, in the battles, the camera kind of, like, zooms around and stuff now. It moves around fluid, like, zooms in and goes out and all. It's kind of like an action sort of thing. But the sprites, they're not high res. They're still low res. So from normal distance, they look okay. But when the camera zooms right in, it looks like massive pixelated mess. Yeah, and I can't believe no one noticed it 2 years ago when they started making it. But oh well, you kind of get over it. But that's the only bad thing I think about.
You know what it boils down to is Nintendo's like, well, we could fix it, but that would cost more money, and we know this is going to sell anyway, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
Mm. Hey, let's move over to our another Rich, because he's like breaking all kinds of crazy news stories left and right. He's been doing a lot of groundwork for us. Mr. Primrose.
Yeah. What have I been playing?
Sure. Let's start off with that. Maybe you can update us on like the, I don't know, the latest of Charlie Sheen comings and goings and.
Yeah, apparently he's been chucking Xboxes out of hotel windows.
Insane. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Let's talk about what you've been playing.
Pardon? Fucking hell, Mr. Matthew. I'm not the host. I'm not introducing. Stop calling me off.
I said, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Dead Space 2. Carried on with that. Great. Love it. Scary. Moving on.
But what's your mum think of it?
She's not seen it yet. I've got
only one answer to that. Your mom hates this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Review coming. Forthcoming. Next one. Beyond Good and Evil. Demo. Played that.
I played that.
Yeah.
I'm not into... I've never played it first time round. So I ain't got no nostalgia for it. I just found it a pain in the arse. Every time I walked out of a room, it was loading something. And you had to wait. Loads of loading. More loading. Somebody tell you something. Fight a couple of things. More loading.
So lots of loading.
Nah, not bothered with that. I'll wait for Torchlight. That's the only thing I think I'll be buying out of this.
Okay, before we move on from Beyond Good and Evil, since Mike played it too, why don't you guys talk about it real quickly?
Well, I kind of played it a little bit before, like when it first came around, but I don't really have much love for it. And I played the demo, and I was like, but the controls are really odd, and I think that's just because, you know, they was from many, many years ago, and well, not many, many years ago, but, you know, from an old generation, and I just couldn't get used to it. And I was like, well, I've got too many good games to play, and I'd play it if I had nothing around, but I'm not going to play it now.
Do you guys kind of feel like maybe this game is kind of has that same kind of nostalgia feel to it that I think a lot of people are kind of throwing towards Duke Nukem? Whereas I don't think Duke Nukem's going to be a terribly good game and do very well.
I think Beyond Good and Evil has a lot of good points to it. You know, it does have a lot of pros. I mean, the voice acting is really good. The dialogue's good. It's interesting, I think, like what's going on, and it hooks you in a way that you want to know, you know. And it's strange, and it's odd, and it's
you know, what it reminded me of. It reminded me, and I did like it as well, Kingdom Hearts. But I just thought Kingdom Hearts played a lot better.
So I got to say this before my head explodes. So what you're saying, Mike, is that the game has good and evil.
It does, but it kind of goes beyond those.
Oh.
In high distinction, as Keith Lemon would say.
I get it.
Mr. Webster, did you have something you wanted to contribute here?
Just a query, really, to the world in general. Of all the games that I could think of from last gen, gen before, and even the gens, since gens, Beyond Good and Evil is not the choice I would have picked for a HD remake. I think they're just trying to cash in on... I think they basically just put their hands in a bucket and were like, you know, big list of games in there, and they were like, well, we'll just pick one. Because I don't know anyone. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know anyone that actually played this game or even liked it.
I've heard good things about it. I just never...
Yeah, it was highly, like...
Well, I've heard good things about gay sex, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, JF was here before, wasn't he?
Yeah, true.
Good point. Point taken. All right, Mr. Primrose, back to what you've been playing.
So after that, I tell you what I've been playing, and this is a high recommendation for anybody that's got a phone or an iPad or whatever. Slingo Supreme. Not made
sounds
by...
hardcore.
Yeah, it's good. It's not made by PopCap, but I tell you what, it's addictive as anything they've done. It's awesome. And it doesn't sound awesome when I tell you what it is. It's a cross between Bingo and slot machines with perks and power ups, and it's brilliant.
Okay.
It's got they've talked, you know, you've got your daily challenges on Halo and stuff like that.
Right.
It's got daily challenges on that as well. So every time you go back to it, there's like a constant new little challenge for you. And like I say, it's got like a ranking up system, which unlocks perks and power ups and stuff while you're playing. Really good.
Okay. Excellent.
Thoroughly enjoyed that. Very good.
And this is for the iPhone?
It's for the iPhone. I'm not sure if you can pick it up for the iPad, but Mosher Angel off G4TE.
Ah, Mosher.
Yeah, she put a shout out about it on Twitter. So I thought, I'm gonna have a play of the light version of that, and I had one game and then bought it because it's brilliant.
Is it on Android? Did I miss that? Is it on Android?
Possibly not yet.
Probably not then.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think it's one of the big devs. So, I don't think they would have rolled it out on every platform to start off with, but you can check it out, see if it is. Yeah, and then finally, I've been playing Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Oh, God, I love that game.
Yeah?
You've got to get that back, Mike. Have you got it back yet?
No.
Oh, man, it's so good.
No.
Love that auto log. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's the big hook, right? That keeps you coming back and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've been finding that I thought I'd really enjoy playing the Law Enforcer because you get all of the best toys on it.
Helicopters, spike strips.
Yes, and the roadblocks, and the EMP. But I've not been as successful with that as I have been with doing the racer. And I'm not sure if it's because you constantly...
Well, of course, because you're from Nottingham, where Robbie Hood come from, so...
Could be a robber.
So you're a robber, yeah. You're the bad guys. That's in your blood.
Yeah. But I think it's the great thing is with it is that if you play as the enforcer, obviously you're coming from the back end of the track and you've got to make your way forward and force everybody off. But then as a racer, you're always at pole position trying to stay ahead. And it's really good. I love it. It's a great game. And yeah, I'm going to have hours of enjoyment. I'm going to go out and buy it because I've only rented it at the minute, but it's got to be a full purchase, that, because it's got tons to do in it. Right. Definitely, yeah. So, yeah, that's me done.
All right, good deal. Mr. Matthew, why don't we switch over to you?
So, short list this week. Pulled out the old Forza 3.
Well, yeah, actually.
Longer than last week, then.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this actually is longer than last week.
It's a good point. I'm still hearkening back to yesteryear when I would have two paragraphs worth of games because I was in grad school and had all that time. Anyway. Played a little bit of Forza 3, a very little bit. A friend of mine sent me a note and said, hey, I need a level X car that I can borrow. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll loan you one. And then I got out one of my cars and started tuning around with it and playing around with it a little bit. So I had some of that. And then I finally decided I was going to start the DLC for Dragon Age Origins. So I'm playing Witch Hunt now. I've just started it. I haven't even done the first mission yet, so I really have nothing to say about it other than
It's Dragon Age.
I just started it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Mike Chen.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how are we doing? Oh, all right. I played, remember that 2K sale that they had on quite a while ago?
Yeah.
I downloaded Mafia 2 DLC, and I got it back from my Gamefly / Love Film thing.
Okay.
So I thought, great, I'll give that a go. And there was two that I downloaded. But there's actually three DLCs. There's one called The Betrayal of Jimmy. And Jimmy is this character that's not in the main game, but they made some DLC about him. Now, The Betrayal of Jimmy is a PS3 exclusive, right?
Okay.
So I can't play that one because I'm playing it on the Xbox. But Jimmy's Vendetta is kind of like the follow-up to that. And it's lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. It has one cutscene at the start, and then there's no other cutscenes in it. It's just all side missions, and every mission is kill the people or take the cars.
Do you think potentially it would be a little bit better if you had had maybe the first part of it, the PS3, you know?
No,
DLC?
No, because what it's, you know, in the main game, but you know, you got the missions are varied. You got cutscenes. You got when you're walking. You play Mafia 2, right?
Yeah, I love it.
You know, Each mission felt a bit different because you had different interactions. You'd walk into a bar, people would say different things. Jimmy doesn't say anything apart from the occasional, like, oh, I need to borrow this car, or, you know, when you jack someone or whatever.
I'm taking this,
Nico. All right, and, you know, he doesn't say anything. There's no cutscenes. There's only, like, a screen, like a screenshot with a paragraph of what, like, you know, of a pretend kind of cutscene that what would be said, I guess. And that's it. And then you're given, and all the missions are boring. You know, they're just a group of people you've got to shoot, or a car you've got to steal, or a car you've got to blow up. And it's boring. Absolutely boring and lazy. I was so, because I loved Mafia 2 and it left a bad taste in my mouth. So I thought, I'm hoping that Joe's Adventure, which is the other DLC, would be better. So the Joe's Adventure takes place while Vito, the person you play in the main game, is in jail. Right, so it starts off with Vito kind of being arrested, and you're like, you know, what's going on? And the first opening scene is brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic. You know, you have to ride your car on the ice, you know, and you have to go to this place and this like warehouse, and it's so much fun. And then you find this guy and you threaten him. And you get back into your car and Joe's singing along to the song, and it's totally perfect for the moment. I love that mission. It was the opening mission. And then, it does the kind of the same thing as Jimmy's Vendetta, but the missions are varied. They feel like proper single-player missions, not side missions. So it does that screen of explaining what you got to do, but the missions are, you know, like, different every time, and they have a bit of story and some talking going on. So they're not that bad. And then halfway through, you'll get a group of story missions with full cutscenes. And then I got 70% into the game. 70%, which is about 4 hours, right?
Okay.
Finished the mission, and Joe, the main character, was under the map.
You know what happened to me?
Right. Under the map and reload checkpoint under the map. As soon as I moved,
falling.
Read up online, couldn't find anything to help me out. Read up, nothing. I was like, fuck.
Joe's Adventure done.
No, because that's what a quitter would do. I started it again. I did the 4 hours in 2 hours. Yeah?
Yeah?
And I got back to where I was, and it worked, and then it worked fine from then on. And then the ending's, you know, it's pretty good. It's an okay piece of DLC. It's not bad. Don't get Jimmy Vendetta. Joe's Adventure if you want some more Mafia 2.
Joe's Adventure, good, unless you're stuck under the map.
So, Mike, what's the full length of that then, when it's all done and dusted? About like 5 hours, isn't it?
About 4 or 5 hours, yeah. If you ran through it the second time. Yeah, it's a nice piece of DLC. It's not bad. But some of the missions are a bit frustrating, like the main game. You know, like, the main game has these like missions that you think, I'm never, ever going to do this. So,
You know what I'm excited to see? I shouldn't say what I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear, yes, because I see it on your list of games.
Yes.
Yes.
I played the Dragon Age 2 demo.
Swords and wizards and shit.
Yes, swords and wizards and shit. Things he doesn't like.
And shit. I haven't played I haven't played Dragon Age 1. I haven't played Oblivion. I think swords and elves and shit are gay.
You're going to die an empty soul.
Yeah. I would like to point out though, Mike, that I did earlier see a picture of you playing with He-Man dolls. So
true.
Your point is taken with a little bit of
damn. Yeah.
Had to put that on the internet and everything.
It's already on the internet.
That is now on the interwebs.
Right. So I played Dragon Age 2 and I liked it.
OMFG.
OMFG. I didn't I didn't fall in love with it. I didn't go, oh, this is the best day ever. Right. But I did think I could play this game. I could carry on playing this game. And I wanted to. I felt like that the demo did a great job of showing a noob like me that it's not as intimidating as I thought it would be. Now, Dragon Age 1 probably will be, but the second one, I think that, you know, the tree, like the combat tree system works well, swapping between characters works well, the characters are interesting, you know, you do some choices. The dialogue, one of the things I loved about the dialogue is that you got to ask what what your squad thinks you should do. You know, when in the demo when you got that choice of going with the Phlegm right. or whatever her name is.
Phlegm.
Come on, Phlegm.
Phlegm. What's her name?
Phlegmeth.
Phlegmeth. Yeah, it's just
you're
like
close.
Phlegm,
yeah.
She like coughed. Phlegmeth. Right, so you don't know what to do, and you go to your squad and you go, what should I do? And I thought that was, I always wanted that in Mass Effect 2. You know, like, what does the squad think? Why is it always on me? You know,
all you get is Miranda's ass's opinion, really, don't you?
Yeah. It's like, well, you're the f***ing captain.
which is very important.
Yes. So I did like it. I thought it was a very good demo for someone that didn't play it before. I will play Dragon Age 2. I'm still debating whether I should play one. I think I will. I think I will play Dragon Age.
I think, especially now that you've tasted Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
I fear for you with Dragon Age 1, because I don't think you were going to enjoy
well,
that.
I'm not saying that it was an easy playthrough. Like, I died the second time you fought the ogre when you're not powered up.
Right.
I died. I was having trouble with some of the abilities. Like, they wasn't unlocked for me. And Duke was trying to explain why, and it still wouldn't work out. And so I was still having a bit of trouble with it. But I did beat it. I did eventually figure out how to do it.
Right.
So, you know, I'll get there.
Excellent.
I liked it. Dragon Age 2, I liked it.
I'm going to try it. Because I didn't like Oblivion like you. So I might have a blast on that.
I never really played it. It doesn't interest me, Oblivion.
Yeah. The only one I've been...
that played it.
The only one that I've been interested in is that Skyrim, and that's the one that they did Oblivion, didn't they? So.
Well, I did see the, you know, the new trailer that came out for it.
Yeah.
Do I?
I, you know, the one that you just have, Rich. I watched that and thought that looks quite cool.
Mike, you are changing before
what's
our very
what's going
eyes.
On?
Oh my goodness!
I have to have a shower for 5 hours after I said it, but.
You know. All right. So is that it for you?
That is it for me, yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so for me, on the short side of the list, more Battlefield Bad Company 2, Blops, and Two Worlds 2 over the weekend.
You still plugging away at that Two Worlds 2, huh?
Yeah, no, still plugging away at it. Still enjoying
okay.
it. You know, not the best voice acting in the world. I certainly will agree to that. Some
well,
of the
you played it for more than 2 hours, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like my fantasy role-playing type games, so I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you ever watched Willow?
You know what? A long, long time ago.
I think me and you are the same kind of person. If we can enjoy Willow, and because
yeah.
we love fantasy, I think we can enjoy Two Worlds just as much. That's a terrible film. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Well, the first game, Two Worlds, was also... by all means, a terrible game, but we still played through it.
Die! When he sees
yeah.
a bunny rabbit.
So here's the deal. There's two more games on my list. Now, I'm going to just throw this out as guesses. One of these games I am enjoying and think very highly of. One of these games is a styling... Just a huge pile of poo.
Okay.
Styling? A styling
yeah,
pile
yeah,
of
I
poo?
I was going with a different reference, and I decided
mid-steaming
pile of
you
poo.
You screwed it up. You
yeah.
screwed it up.
So, okay, so one's awful and one's brilliant. Guess
yes.
the names of the games. Let's see if we can guess this right.
Okay, so Dragon Age 2.
Right.
And Brunswick Bowling.
I think yeah, you're enjoying the bowling game.
This is tough.
Well, yeah, you seem like a kingpin. You know, you seem like you walk around your house in bowling shirts, sunshades.
Woody
House.
You know, there's some irony
Firstly,
here.
You seem like an old Amish dude on Rumsdarg.
Yep. You're not behind on the rent.
No. But I do love bowling. I really do like to bowl.
Duke loves to bowl, by the way.
Yeah.
He's in a bowling team.
Yeah, I used to actually be in a bowling league.
Huh.
Yeah. Have my own set of balls.
Then you got that.
There. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so, yeah, Brunswick Bowling is absolutely shit. and this isn't a big surprise, I don't think, but...
I don't think anybody was going, ooh, game of the year.
But here's the thing. So, I had it on my Gamefly, and I thought, you know what, I really enjoyed Kinect Sports Bowling.
Yep.
They did a good job with it. It was fun. And so when I saw Brunswick Bowling was coming out, I thought, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I'll throw it on my GameFly list.
How bad could it be?
How bad could it be? Plus, they've got the Brunswick license. These guys make bowling equipment.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be dedicated just bowling itself. The problem is that it is a port. It is a Wii port. And I think also it went to the PS3 with Move. And I'm guessing it probably plays better with those devices than it does with Kinect, because they didn't change anything really around for Kinect. Or at least it feels that way.
So basically you can't play the game because you're missing the stick. Is that what you're saying?
At times, yeah.
Might as well be.
I'm telling you, I went to throw the ball the first time and the ball didn't release. I'm just sitting there. Well, you know, normally it's the motion of your arm and the Kinect camera senses the release point and then the ball comes out. And for whatever reason, I don't know how they did such a poor job of setting up the Kinect controls, comparatively speaking to Kinect Sports, which did a great job. And that's just a little part of the overall game of Kinect Sports. But yeah, Brunswick Bowling, let's just put it this way. I played one complete game, put it back in the GameFly sleeve, and
Damn.
Sent it on its way. And luckily, I don't have any achievement points on it, so I will actually be able to take that out.
Deleted.
Yeah.
I was exactly the same with Transformers, except I ended up getting an achievement.
Damn. Really?
Yeah.
Did you give up on it that quick?
Yeah, off now. I'll put it straight back in the post. Bye-bye.
Damn. Yeah,
you need to give it at least 42 minutes of playtime.
Minutes, yeah. No. It was 10 frames was more than enough for me to say no. But yeah, Dragon Age 2, I'm happy to say I'm quite pleased with my purchase. Put it in, fired it up, and I've only gotten in maybe about basically just past the actual demo, because the demo is the introduction of Dragon Age 2. So just
that's cool.
Wants to know, that's exactly how the game opens up, so you're not basically getting spoiled with anything down the road.
Right.
Yes.
You know when you kill the ogre for the second time?
Yes.
And then on the demo, there's a video, a very quick video of you going to the bar, meeting that chick, and you meet the dwarf because he helped her, he stopped a pickpocketer.
Yeah,
and then you're in that town. Is
that's not part of the intro.
Okay, that you actually play those parts, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay, so I wondered that. I was like, that's a very quick video to get you to this point. So I wonder if they skipped a lot of gameplay just to get to me, to here.
Yeah, I don't know, because I haven't actually gotten to that quote-unquote part.
You know what I mean, though, because you find the ogre, and then they do this really quick video, and then you're in this little town, and then you have to find that guy for the woman.
Right.
And then you beat the woman, and she's all like, well, you should come back to my room.
Sounds hot.
I'm assuming to read a book. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. To read a book. Just like how we were kind of talking before about porting in your game saves, once you get into the create your character part, it will ask you once you're done giving your character all the tweaks that you want. And it is nice. They do have a lot of different tweaks you can do to customize the way your character looks. So it's not...
Can you give him long hair?
You can give him long hair. You can't
do that in Mass Effect 2.
You can make him bald. You can give him tattoos on his face. You know, the whole nine yards. It will ask if you want to import a save or basically use... like kind of a preset origin story. I think there was a third option, which it's escaping me right now, and I may have to go back and look at it.
It probably says back.
Maybe that was it. Who knows? No, there was actually three different options for how you wanted to proceed in the story. And I think one of them was you could just kind of use a preset. BioWare's already determined the start of the story, or you can import your save. Or the third option was basically you could go in and make some choices that they would throw in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
And that would basically dictate how the story played out.
Well, that's quite good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to see that they're continuing on with that, utilizing the game before it and how you...
I don't know if it works for Dragon Age. I don't even know if it'll work for Mass Effect 2 to 3. But when I started again in Mass Effect 2, I didn't have my original save for some reason. I must have deleted it for some reason. So I thought to myself, oh shit, I'm going to have to play through it again, you know, to be able to get the achievement for completing it twice. But it recognised that I'd already got the achievement for completing Mass Effect 2, so it started me as a high-level character. Did it anything like that in Dragon Age, or is it just about your saves?
It's just about the saves. I mean, I didn't see any option in there, but again, maybe once you play through it, it will have that option available.
Yeah.
So.
And what do you think? Because we both liked Dragon Age 1. I played it on PC, you did 360. What do you think of the improvements and stuff? Like, does the combat work a bit better and stuff? Is it more fluid? Conversations, all that jazz?
You know, I personally love the changes they've done to Dragon Age 2 compared to the first one for the console. I think they're good improvements for the console. They make the combat, you know, basically better for a console player. I know from the PC standpoint, they took away a little bit of that more tactical feel to it. You can't, you know, zoom back as much as you could before. And so a lot of PC game players are a little miffed about that. But overall, I think the polish and the changes that they've made for the game are, they're very good.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, I'm recommending it, at least so far. But again, I haven't gotten to the meat of the story, so I couldn't tell you if, you know, it really is a good game or not at this point. I just can really only tell you, in a sense, kind of the same impressions I had of the demo, because that's about where I'm at.
You know the graphics, are they a big improvement to the first one?
Yes.
Because I wasn't blown away by the graphics in the second one.
Yeah, you know what, and I'll say it, you know, the graphics in Dragon Age 2 are good. They're not great, but that should tell you just how bad the graphics were in the first. So.
Yeah, because I was like, well, there's no way it looks as better than Mass Effect 2 or equal to. I don't know.
Yeah. No, Mass Effect 2 definitely looks better.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But, all right. Well, that's it. That's what I've been playing, and I guess we can move on.
I got one question.
Okay. I have an answer.
So one of my big complaints about the demo was that the environments didn't look as nice and detailed as they did in Dragon Age Origins. Did they clean those up at all, or are they exactly the way they were in the demo?
From the demo standpoint, that area, it is exactly the same. I didn't notice any differences. So, yes, the hillsides look like they've been scorched and are fairly barren as you're going through that area with your family. You know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, I know the spot you're talking about. That's kind of a letdown, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm assuming when I play one, I will know what happened to the whole area, because I have no idea. It just seems everything's like fucked.
Yes.
Yes, they will give you back. You can see the backstory, if you will. Okay. So. All right, well, that does it for that. Let's jump into the news, Mike.
Yeah.
And this is the news of the week.
That's some... Yeah. Scratching noise there.
Yeah, well, that would be Mr. Richard Primrose emerging from the depths of his sleeping area, getting himself ready, because there's some hot news.
Yes. Apparently, Microsoft are hiring for the next generation console.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Charlie Sheen. Never mind. Yeah, no, Microsoft. Let's talk about the next generation console. I think that's more important to this podcast.
Yes. They're staffing up for the next iteration of the console, by the looks of it. And apparently they've put out a handful of hiring ads for its Mountain View Research Facility, where they're looking to add design verification engineers and a hardware architect and other positions. So, yeah.
Now,
it does say that the positions are conceptual, so they'll be taking the project all the way through to fruition, by the looks of it. Exciting. I was listening to some people talking about E3 and so on, and they were speculating that they wouldn't be too surprised if, because of all of the exclusives and everything that's coming out for PlayStation, if Microsoft did a bit of a number on them by pissing on their chips with a little bit of a presentation as to what is to come. But anyway, wait and see.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, I can't see them making an announcement at E3 for a console this year. I think we're about a year away from that announcement, and then another year away from the actual launch. Yeah, that's just my two cents. Who knows? You know, I mean, heck, I'm not paying the bills there. So,
what about a tech demo? What about tech demo? Showing what Kinect can.
Well, I think they need to be careful of they can't show too much of a tech demo of this is what Kinect could do. They need to show this is what Kinect can do now. Mm. Otherwise, They're going to stop selling Kinects because everybody's going to say, "Well, we'll just wait for the next console to come out." And that's
they need to show what Kinect's got in store for this year because we don't really know what's really coming with Kinect.
Right.
So they need some big Kinect games at E3.
I can tell you what game they should not show for Kinect.
Bowling?
Yeah, Brunswick Bowling. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the next piece of news. Mike, we do love our movies.
We do. We're a big fan of movies. I just want to see a movie. But Tomb Raider movie is, they are awful. So they're bringing it back because they need money. And a guy called Graham King and his production company have bought the rights to Tomb Raider, and they're going to release a reboot of Tomb Raider and Lara Croft and all that jazz. I'm assuming that they're going to get a new chick in because, you know, it wouldn't be really a reboot if they brought the old one in. So the guy who's bought it off, Graham King, is responsible for quite a few films. He's a British film producer, and he's as the CEO of Initial Entertainment Group, and he's got some good films under his name. You know, films like The Departed. He was the producer on The Departed.
Okay.
Blood Diamond, Edge of Darkness, Traffic Alley. You know, he has got Gangs of New York, The Aviator. You know, that's one and Oscar.
Wow.
So, he has got some blumpers as well. You know, there's the, what's that one? Oh, yeah, The Tourist. That was a bit of a terrible film recently. He has got Next on there as well. So he does have some dodgy ones.
Next was brilliant. Yeah. So, I find it kind of not so coincidental that the film is getting the reboot right on the heels of the gaming franchise getting the reboot.
I doubt they would come out at the same time, though.
Do you think they'll have some kind of creative sharing going on?
No, I don't. I really don't think that they're coordinated. To be honest, I think that the Lara Croft game has been in development for so long. I'm sure that maybe the movie will take some things from the game, but they won't collude and won't work together. I think the film will borrow from the game, maybe. But usually filmmakers and producers just kind of go off and do their own thing.
Yeah. Chris, you were going to say something, I think?
Well, on the subject of movies in general, somehow we have allowed ourselves to be hoodwinked by the Hollywood machine to think that reboot doesn't mean sequel. I get it. They're perhaps saying anything that happened before doesn't count, and so we're opening up our narrative to, you know, give ourselves some more options. But it's just another movie about the Tomb Raider. It's just another Star Trek movie. It's just another Batman movie. You know, there's just sequels.
Batman was
I'm not taking
that was good.
I'm not taking away from the films. Batman Begins and Dark Knight, great films. New Star Trek film, great film. I'm just saying, somehow we have allowed ourselves as a general population to believe that reboot doesn't mean sequel. I'm not saying sequels are always bad. I'm just saying.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but in certain instances, I think the reboot is just their way of signifying that, you know what, we are changing the image of the main character and the story. It's going to be different. You know, Star Trek is a great example. They rebooted the franchise. Yeah, it really. You know, I mean, they were taking the story all the way back to the beginnings and then retelling it and reimagining it, you know. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, because at the end of the day, it's just another Star Trek movie. It's just another Tomb Raider movie. But, you know, I mean, I don't get so put off by the terminology of rebooting it, as long as they do properly reboot it. And
what they're really saying is, we've run out of ideas, and so here is some stuff that you've already seen before.
That, or we can't afford the lead actor. One of the two.
That too.
Yeah.
I always think that they always pick the wrong films to make into... Pick the wrong games to make into films. So yeah. Don't pick Tomb Raider. It's, no one plays that for the game, for the story.
Half-Life film would be good.
Well, let's move on to another movie, Mr. Webster.
Yeah, Resident Evil, the fifth film, is getting made. I didn't even know that we had four of them.
Yes.
Yep. The last one was in 3D.
3D.
3D. It's like real life.
Yeah, Resident Evil's like the only movie franchise, though, that has had a level of success.
It does well.
I'm thinking of why, Greg. I'm thinking of why it's had some success as well.
Some chick because
it's. Well, yeah, she's kind of hot. Lilu from Fifth Element.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I don't know for certain, but it seems like they've kind of had creative control, haven't they? Because the films don't follow the game's stories.
Really? True.
Yeah. You know? I've played every Resident Evil. I never walked around the city with a shotgun and a nightgown on.
Clearly.
I was never on a ship with loads of zombie slave things getting all mutated and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has had a lot of creative license. They've deviated from the games themselves. But, I mean, they do utilize the same characters. I mean, there's certain things that they've kind of embedded themselves in with the franchise.
Yeah.
It's that chick works well with computer game tie-ins, because she was in Silent Hill as well, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And that was all right.
Until the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, maybe all it would really take is getting yourself in a game. Chris, anything? You know anything a little about maybe casting yourself?
I know that it's in the game, if it's in the game. I also know that if you are itching to be in the game, you should take a picture of yourself looking as bedraggled and I've just survived the alien poxyclips as you can. Because the upcoming title, Resistance 3, is having a contest. If you want yo face on a digital refugee bot in the game, then you should send them a picture of either looking bedraggled like a refugee or looking soldierly fighting off the alien invasion, and perhaps you can be in the game.
Yeah, okay. It's fun and all, but I mean, it just kind of seems...
Who doesn't want to be in the game? Everybody wants to be in the game. Didn't EA did one of these a couple of years ago where you could... there was Facebreaker, and there was also one where you could be in a Madden game.
There was Resident Evil... sorry, not Resident Evil. Rainbow Six had the face-scanning technology, too. That worked.
No. Yeah. You could put your own face in Rainbow Six and Facebreaker, and I think Fight Night Round 3.
Right.
Or Round 4. But
PGA. Tiger Woods.
Okay, thanks. There was actually a contest a couple of years ago where you could win something, and EA would actually make an NFL star that was you and put it in the game in Madden. So everybody had you in their Madden.
Mm.
It was many years ago, and I'm probably talking bollocks, but I don't know. Whatever.
It's just a novelty thing, and I don't know. I mean,
Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption had it as well.
Did they?
Yep. The thing where you had to grow your moustache for the month of November.
That's right.
And the person who grew the best moustache could be in the game. I don't know who won it, but somebody did.
Yeah. All right, there you go. If you want to be in Resistance 3, take a picture.
Hold on. It's kind of strange, because, I don't know, but at this moment in time right now, Gears 3, Gears is kind of like Resistance... rival, isn't it?
I guess.
Sort of. I mean, big franchise.
Well, the fact that they've both got 3 in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Gears of War 3 will have Unreal Tournament 4 running, and it looks ace. And this will have you in the game. I think I'd rather have me in the game.
Yeah, I'd like to have you in Gears of War 3, because you're quite a skinny guy, Rich. So it'd be funny to see you in Gears of War 3 next to Marcus Fenix.
The armor would slip off.
Who do you want to go with?
Me or Rich? Well, I think I'll go with you, Marcus.
Rich could wear Anya's armor.
I think we had to put him in the big armor and have it just be completely not fitting correctly. The helmet sliding down on his face.
That would be funny, yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready for battle, sir!
Because even Carmine in the game is huge. You know, when you look at him, he's still massive.
Oh, yeah.
He's a skinny guy with all that armor on. That would be funny.
It's hard to understand how they're losing that war.
That's comedy, Cliffy. That's comedy.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Hey, UK, Pilgrims.
UK software, Mr. Primrose.
I think he's asleep.
He might
honestly
be asleep.
What are we on about? Top 10?
Are you emerging from a cocoon?
I was going. All right, top 10. Top 10, anybody?
Top 10?
Yeah. Top 10.
Woohoo! Top 10. Here we go.
Yeah, number 10, you've got Wii Party, because everybody likes Party. Number 9, you've got Dead Space 2. Number 8, you've got FIFA 11, about to appear in films, as discussed earlier. Number 7, Just Dance 2. Number 6, Call of Duty Black Ops. Check out the track that's coming out in a bit, it's great. And number 5, you've got Killzone 3. Check out the outtakes later on. Check out number 4, which is Bulletstorm. And number 3, Fight Night Champion. And number 2, Pokemon Black Version. And number 1, Pokemon White Version.
Oh, that's a bit racist, isn't it? The white.
Yeah.
More people bought the white one than the black one. Hey?
At least Mr. Webster was supporting the cause.
Yeah. Well, he is black.
He is, I've heard.
You are rich, right?
He's got naked pictures to prove it.
Only in some light. Some lighting.
You mean as in when the lights are off?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Word for word.
I think about the only surprise there might be the flip-flopping of Killzone 3 with Bulletstorm. Thought Killzone 3 might have a little more staying power.
Really?
Yeah.
Bulletstorm is on both platforms, though.
True. But, I mean, Bulletstorm has been getting decent to good reviews, and Killzone 3 has been getting, you know, very high marks.
Reviews.
Even beyond what I say.
Sometimes reviews don't matter when you've got people kicking ass on the front.
Yeah.
And the marketing beyond Bulletstorm has been pretty good as well.
True.
I see, you know that, remember that spoof kind of Call of Duty thing that they released?
Yeah.
I see that on the TV, you know? Like, that's
what I did see that on the TV, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, that's clever marketing, because people will go, oh, yeah.
Boring.
Yeah, that's in the commercial. I was like, well, that's clever. People will buy that game because of that.
Yeah.
Let's,
Randy can swear enough.
Yes, they did take all the swearing out. I barely caught that, Mr. Skypey.
No. In the actual game, if you don't like having dick tits and stuff, you can turn it off. You've got an option to turn the swearing off.
Well, why would you want to play the game?
Yeah, exactly.
But grotesque violence is okay.
Actually,
but
that's good to know, though. But I actually might want to turn it off, because I was a bit turned off to the language.
Yeah.
Not because I can't handle it, but just because it was so over the top.
It's cool. It's cool because it's cool.
Oh God. Hey Mike, let's just wrap up this last story.
Yeah, okay. Connect UK prices dip, blah blah blah. Connect has dropped to the £100 mark. Or under it. You can buy it, you know, around £100 ish in the UK, which is probably you know, affordable for a lot of people. I reckon they'll push it big time soon. I don't know, maybe in the summer.
This is kind of my question.
What?
And I don't, because I don't know, and they don't really release hardware sales over in the UK. So I don't know how it's performing over there. But some people were saying, oh, it's basically Microsoft is basically doing a price drop. And so a lot of the shops are, you know, they're basically quietly doing a price drop. But is that really the case, or is it possible that maybe Kinect just isn't doing well in the UK, and so stores are having to kind of slash prices to try and move?
Well, I think it just happens naturally anyway. This is usually what happens with things that have been out for a few good few months, you know, they drop in price. It happens to games, it happens to TVs, it happens to, you know, Xboxes even. You shop around. I don't know what it's like in the US, but you shop around in the UK and you can get yourself some good deals. And, you know, that's what I mean, it's probably a collection of what you've said, Greg. You know, they're not selling as well as they did over Christmas. But I'm sure they still sell pretty well, you know. I'm sure they're doing all right.
Yeah, all right, well, go run out and buy one.
That's kind of impulse. I know it's £100 is a lot of money. It's not impulse for me, but you know, when you see like a two digit, you know, like $99.99 or whatever,
right.
you kind of go, well, you know, that's, I could get that, you know, like it's, you know, I'm just saying more people might buy it just because they're in the shop and they need to buy something.
Yeah. Alright, cool. Well, that's cool. It. That's news. We're done.
Yeah.
It's time we take our show break.
Yep.
This week we've got the Black Ops Killstreak song from Sarcastic Gamer via Mr. Primrose's request. And it's a good song, so enjoy it. And we will be back from the break. And we'll cover out the new releases, some community mailbag, wrap up the show, and get out of here.
Yeah.
Don't go nowhere.
Can't stop. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. It's like everyone came here to shoot Doc. All I do is spawn and then get shot. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops.
Everybody a kill streak up in here. Y'all look at me, I know you think, let's get em. Try to represent when I play Black Ops, but I don't teabag, I just get shot. Hit the dirt, blood spurts from my neck. Keep losing my shit like I'm Glenn Beck. My friends don't even know I'm there. I'm dead before I can be where. Oh, I'm on kill cam again. Getting shot while reviving a friend. Just died from G11. Oh, my guys go to heaven. I never get the headshots, even when I use a red dot. RCX, D victim, just one way. I give them their killstreak, that gunship. It's my fault.
You know I can't stop. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. It's like everyone came here to shoot dogs. All I do is spawn and then get shot. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops.
Don't know why I turn Black Ops on. I'll just respawn till break of dawn. Claymore's always blowing up D's. I wonder if blood on snow will freeze. I'm a kill cam aficionado. The team must think they won the lotto. We were playing Peggle line kick ass. Oh shit, I spawned in a cloud of gas. Prestige, I'll never get there. My guy just said the Lord's Prayer.
Oh man, oh god, oh damn.
How to kill me with a flashbang? That's by plane above us. Those dogs that just ate us all came from my death streak. I'm sorry.
No, I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. It's like everyone came here to shoot dogs. All I do is spawn and then get shot. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops.
Enemy Valkyrie incoming.
I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. I can't stop. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. It's like everyone came here to shoot dogs. All I do is spawn and then get shot. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops. I'm giving people killstreaks in Black Ops.
All right, we're back from the break, and, well, I think it's time we just jump right into it. Mr. Mike, if you could cue up the old music for some new releases.
Oh, which one were we using? All right, new releases. Okay, here we go. Ah, it's loaded. Loaded, everyone, loaded.
All right, new releases this week. We'll start it off on the Wii. We've got Major League Baseball 2K11. Pirate Blast with White Gun Bundle. Most importantly, the White Gun, because every pirate
yep.
has a White Gun.
Yep.
And then, of course, we've got the Million Dollar Pyramid.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. On the WiiWare front, we've got Heavy Fire Black Arms and a little WiiWare demo of Soccer Bashi. Virtual Console, Bomberman Hero from the old N64 days. So
yeah.
Any of those titles are
terrible guy, but yeah, Bubbleman, yeah.
On the PS3 this week, Dragon Age 2 comes out. Major League
Baseball, yeah.
Major League Baseball 2K11, MLB Show 11, or sorry, MLB 11 the Show. Jeez, Louise. Superstars V8 Next Challenge comes out this week. Warriors Legend of Troy comes out this week, which. That's a game that I thought was going to have all kinds of promise, and then we heard nothing about it, and here it is.
I've never heard of it, so yeah. It's got to be awful.
Yeah, it is. Well, we'll talk about that later. U-Star 2 in the movies. No, really, U-Star 2.
That sounds like a different game.
PSN games this week, Test Yourself, Psychology, and Ultimate Board Game Collection.
Board.
PS1 Classics, R4 Ridge Racer Type 4.
Isn't that the chip that they use for, to fuck up the DS? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
A whole bunch of Disney PS1 games. A Bug's Life, Hercules, Lilo and Stitch, Monsters, Inc., Peter Pan, The Emperor's New Groove, Toy Story, Toy Story Racer. Yeah, they're all coming out. Demos, Bionic Commando, Rearm 2, Explodemon.
Ooh,
Mortal Kombat. That's
probably the Explodemon.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat. PS Plus only. Yeah. Shelling out some money there, and Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12.
Yeah.
All out now. On the good old Xbox 360, you've got Dragon Age 2, Major League Baseball 2K11, Warriors Legends of Troy, and U-Star 2 in the movies. Xbox Live Arcade this week. Torchlight finally comes. All kinds
everybody,
of excited for that.
Everybody loves this.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited for Torchlight, but now that Dragon Age 2 is actually here, I'm kind of like, DLC this week. We've got Deals of the Week on Lara Croft. Hey, who would have known? Mike, I saw you playing Lara Croft the other day.
Yeah, I played with Stu. Me and Stu were playing it.
Yeah, you gave me the finger for the private chat. I saw how that was.
Yeah.
I was going to see if you needed a partner, but you already were playing with Stu.
Nope.
Yeah. More DLC, just in case you didn't have enough Dragon Age 2 already, you can actually pick up the Dragon Age 2 Exiled Prince DLC. That's exclusive, I guess, to the Xbox 360 for now. Probably timed exclusive.
Yeah.
Dragon Age 2 The Black Emporium. That's kind of like their play pass. Basically.
Oh, the online pass
thing. The online pass thing. You have to have to be able to buy other stuff.
I don't get what they do online. What do they do online?
Basically, buy DLC. Yeah.
I mean, like the Cerberus Network.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Exactly.
I got it.
And, of course, your Lips add-on songs are out this week. A bunch of add-on songs. And Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Porsche Unleashed. So, apparently, they're releasing some DLC there.
I love what they did there. Porsche Unleashed. Sounds like the Porsche Unleashed, right?
Last but not least, Rock Band and Your Shape Fitness have add-ons as well. Your Shape Fitness has a shit ton of add-on workouts. I did not realize until I fired it up the other day how many they had added in. And finally, wrapping it up, Games on Demand this week. Mike, what game would you most want?
Oh,
Games on Demand.
I have been aching to play Kena Lynch 2 again.
Oh, you are in luck. You are in luck, sir. Kena Lynch 2 out this week on Games on Demand.
Fantastic.
And now we can all just go right to sleep right now. We don't need to hear anything.
Yeah, we're done. Brilliant.
Yeah. So, okay, Warriors Legend of Troy. I actually saw this game back at E3.
Oh, really?
And it very much was a God of War kind of clone, just set in, you know, the realm of Troy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, the Spartans and
that's got some promise, right? That sounds like could
yeah,
be all right.
It kind of had promise then. I mean, it didn't look bad at all.
I'm watching a YouTube video of it now.
Yeah, but it was clearly God of War knockoff.
Yeah, that's fine.
But the fact that we have not heard one thing about this game
yeah.
leading up to its release.
There's a lot of enemies on screen.
Yeah, well, that's maybe all it's got going for it. I'm not overly hopeful that game is going to be anything more than just a bad knockoff.
Oh, dear, he just put a sword through his neck. Oh, that's...
Yeah, it happens. Oh. It happens. The other day, I was walking around, sword right through the neck.
Bang, bang. Was it Brad Pitt?
No. That would have made it better, though. It would have.
Yeah.
Would have made it okay.
You wouldn't have minded if it was Brad Pitt. It would have made it better.
No, it would have. Hey, let's move on. Community mailbag. It's time. No. Let's talk some question of the week.
Stay on this bombshell.
Deck the mail, Pop.
Yep, deck the mail, Pip.
Yep, any mail for us.
Mr. Primrose, are you still gracing our presence?
Still here, mate. Still here.
Brilliant.
Yeah. The question of the week fell flat on its face, really.
Kind of like your Skype connection right now.
Yeah, a bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically, just asked, the Eurogamer Expo got announced this week on Friday. It's going to be at Earl's Court again at the end of September. So I was just asking what people would think would be the big games that would be getting shown at Eurogame. And for that matter, later on, because we'll get many responses, on E3, if anybody had any ideas what was coming.
Yeah.
So yeah. And got a few responses. First one being from IP, who basically said that Fable 4 will be shown, and to everyone's happiness, they will have grown some common sense and remade the game's engine from the ground up. Fable is now first person and plays like Oblivion crossed with Fable 3. And you know what else? It's an MMO now too as well. And also he said that GTA 5 will be shown. But nobody cares about that except for Ginny.
Don't care. As long as it's shown, I don't care if I'm the only person who cares. Which I won't be. You're wrong, Pete.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any ideas what they think will be getting shown towards the end of the year? As prospects for the following year, possibly, or for the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rich, I know you laid out, you know, a number of things, and we can kind of maybe go through them and tackle them real quick. I mean... You know, GTA 5, I think we might hear an announcement come E3 because I think by then L.A. Noire will already be out.
Yep.
So that would make sense.
They always have one game. Like, they never, like, kind of have two games going. You know, they always have one game, preview that game, show that game, and then they finish that and then they move on to the next one. They never kind of... have two at the same time. Unless it's GTA, then they never show anything. They don't preview anything.
It'll just be five.
They just release a trailer of scenery and everyone freaks out.
Well, or that, or just the logo.
Just the logo. That's enough. That's all you need?
That's all you need. Price drops, I think, for the PlayStation 3 and the 360 are almost a given. And I would also venture to say that we'll probably see a price drop on the Wii. Now, whether they all happen at E3, that I won't say that's probably going to happen. I think one of the consoles probably will have a price drop at E3, and then you'll see maybe in like the August time frame, similar to what Sony did before, kind of have their price drop hit then. Modern Warfare 3, I mean, we're supposed to be hearing about it sometime soon.
Yep.
So
that'll be that. Yep.
Yeah. New Unreal technology, they kind of already did that at GDC. So, I mean, maybe we'll see some new games using the next Unreal Engine, but I'm not overly hopeful about that. Just because I don't think E3 is necessarily the place for an Unreal tech demo.
People want to see game.
Yeah, it is all about the games. And, you know, last but not least, you know, the next consoles, you know, being kind of set out. I think between Nintendo and Microsoft, they're probably the two closest to being ready to launch for a new console. I mean,
I think there could be a new Wii.
Yeah, I see. I don't think we'll hear anything from any of these in terms of new consoles. Right.
Yeah, I really think Microsoft have got to focus on the Kinect. They've really got to show what the Kinect can do for at least 1 year, and then maybe next year talk about potential next consoles.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, that's kind of where it's at right now, and you know, I think. Yeah, I just don't think we'll hear about the Microsoft console this year. I think it's just way too early. It'll be a year or so from now. And the
enough
Wii,
about us. What do the other people on the podcast think, Greg?
I don't know. What do they think? Mr. Matthew, do you have any thoughts on this?
I know I'm supposed to, but I don't. I am terrible at predicting what the future of gaming is. I still like to go to the store every now and again and be surprised by something on the shelf that I wasn't aware of, so I tend to stay out of it a little bit.
Doing a podcast doesn't help that cause.
No, you're right. You're right. So I only really look as far into the future as Greg puts in the show notes.
Fair. Yeah. Mr. Webster, I bet there's a game out there that both you and Mr. Primrose are pretty high on. The old Battlefield 3, maybe?
Webster?
Bueller?
Hmm.
He's asleep. Oh, these are the brilliant moments we love.
When are we talking about here? When are we talking about? What's the time frame?
E3 time frame.
And when's E3?
June, July.
Okay. Yeah.
So in June at E3, I suspect we will be seeing lots of Mass Effect 3 stuff.
Yeah, that's actually pretty
spot
on.
They'll be spinning up the hype machine there. And I'm pretty fired up about Mass Effect 3. Given my new limited gaming time, I'm kind of being a little more picky about the games that I buy, and that is one that I am truly looking forward to.
Yep.
All right, let's
Webster, wake up.
Mr. Webster.
What are you looking forward to E3 Eurogamer? What do you think of the show? What do you want to see?
I want to see
Pokemon.
GTA 5. I want to see an announcement.
Good job.
Done. Enough.
Thanks for coming, mate.
Yep. All right. So we're just going to move on to emails now. And for those wondering, this podcast is slowly unraveling at the seams. We're losing people. They're dropping like flies. So both Riches are now dead. Yeah. Dead.
Yep. Yeah. Dead tired.
We're down to 60% combat strength.
Yeah.
In traditional doctrine, that renders us combat ineffective. So we got to wrap this up.
Yes, we will plow through this as best we can.
What he said. Whatever he said then.
Here we go. Yeah. Mr. Daniel Atchison. Jeez, I cannot say your last name, Daniel.
Top of you to go. Bang.
Atchison.
Atchison. There you go.
I can speak English. He wrote in, and apparently last week, I don't remember saying it, but I basically said the big fuck you to Mr. Primrose. And, Daniel said, hey, Murphy read my mind. Fuck you, LOL. Have fun. I'll hope to push you off the track. Been playing Rift, and I have been thinking of changing my gamer tag. Need some help.
What's his gamer tag now?
It's DGA93.
Yeah.
I think there's room for improvement here, if you ask me.
He should change it to DGA 94. That would be much better.
Agreed. Yeah. DGA 94? Absolutely.
But he was probably. Is it 93 because he was born in 93?
Possibly. No. Maybe he.
Nah, because that would make him like 17. He's older than that, isn't he? I don't know.
He just turned 18, I think, didn't he?
Did he?
No.
There you go.
I don't know. Daniel, if I'm insulting you, just, you know, take it for what it is.
Dude, he's like. He's older than 18. Yeah.
I'm thinking Chicken Masher 93. You could appreciate that.
Atchison Diet.
whatever he names it to, it needs to end in oi, oi, oi.
Oi, oi, oi?
Yeah. Chicken masher, oi, oi, oi. Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy. Oi, oi, oi.
Pollo Loco, 93.
The crazy chicken.
All right, let's move on. Mike, next email from one of your fellow podcasters over at the Veteran Gamers.
Yes, and friend. Don't forget friend.
No, I don't know about friend. That. I've heard him talk about you.
He's, yeah, well, you know, what can you do? I don't know. This is from Eric Pototrotsky, and he says, hey, did you guys hear about Robo-Earth, the new project by those scientists in the Netherlands? It's like the first version of Skynet. It'll help the robots take over and enslave humanity. Look it up. It's true.
Yeah, by the way,
no.
Real quick interruption. When I first started reading this, I really thought he was basically going to be saying something about space elevators. But no.
Well, no. It's not going to happen. No, I'm not writing this during class while my students are doing their daily writing assignment. Who told you that crazy idea? Have you ever been attacked by a crow or other large bird? That's from the awesome movie Mary and Max.
I have, in fact, actually, sort of.
being attacked by a crow or a large bird?
Well, I was riding my Harley one day, and a large bird, a buzzard, in fact, came out of a ditch and nearly hit me. I had to duck in order to avoid the bird hitting me in the chest. And given the size of the bird, it probably would have knocked me off the motorcycle, so I'm glad I ducked.
Mm.
It was exciting.
I haven't had a bird literally attack me unless you want to call pooping on me, in which case, yes, I have had a seagull attack me.
That is a form of attack.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, birds, pigeons, you know, especially pigeons around Wolverhampton, aim for people. They, like, secretly aim for them.
And they definitely aim for
pigeons.
My car.
Oh,
pigeons. Yeah,
God,
like one
shit
on my car the other day, yeah. And I reckon they go to, they fly, poo on it, and go to their mates.
And it always happens after you clean your car.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true, actually, because I cleaned my car last Wednesday, I think, and it happened Saturday. Yep. Ah, never mind. Okay, so, Mary and Max is a claymation film. That I haven't seen, but Duke did recommend it to me. And he said, what do you mean you haven't seen it? Have you seen it, Chris? You're a big movie guy.
I've not seen that one.
Mary and Max. He said it's very good.
Appreciate you asking me. Yeah, of course, I haven't seen it. Yeah,
Greg doesn't.
Have you seen
watch.
It, Greg?
No, I haven't.
Thank you. Man, PS2 games are cheap. I got 6 of them for $25 the other day. Granted, some of them were in the cheap paper envelopes, but still... 6 games for $25, including in that was The Simpsons Skateboarding. What a classic! If you want to hear us ridicule his choice of PS2 games, listen to the Veteran Gamers podcast.
Six for $25, I think it's safe to assume that there's some crap in there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
But he's convinced that Simpsons Skateboarding is good, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure you're wondering why I haven't written in such a long time. Wherefore doth that rapscallion linger from your shriveling duties? Are probably your exact words or thoughts. Whatever. Well, it's partly because we've done some crazy political mayhem going on
yes.
in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Tom Morello even showed up and helped us rage against the machine. So, F you, I won't do what you tell me.
That's from Rage Against the Machine. Just.
I know.
Hey, you know.
Hey. I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I know who they are.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
Renegades of Funk.
Moving on.
Okay.
You want to continue this email? Maybe.
I know. You want to write that novel? So we're never going to finish this podcast ever. We've killed 2 people. We're still going to Yeah, he was in the middle of all that... political mayhem thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He was in there. If you check his Facebook picture.
Hell no, we won't go.
In the crowd. Right, so he carries on by saying, I think I figured out how to have fun in non-hardcore Black Ops team deathmatches. I also tried the Crysis 2 demo, and I kind of liked it. I know Chitty and Stu didn't care for it when they played it, but I got a kick out of it. Greg, did you try it at all when you... to that thing that you went to? But you tried the demo, anyway.
Yeah, I tried the demo, and I downloaded the second demo. Yeah, so the first one was the kind of like the beta, even though it was just a demo. and that was just the rooftops. Then they re-released it, and you actually had to re-download it because the first, if you had the first one, it would tell you this demo is no longer available. But the second one had Pier 17 as well as Crash Site in it, and I really dug that. Okay. Yeah, it was good. So
well, you've got a friend.
I know.
Duke will play it with you. So he said that about that. The next paragraph. I know CPN has been dropping some wicked movie quotes lately, but I can't remember what any of them are right now. Still, please tell him that I recognise them and appreciate them. And even if he's not, I'm lolling and shouting the names of the movies while I'm walking my dog. Okay, I have to go. Duke out.
Duke out.
Do you want to do a movie reference right now or a quote?
Right this very second.
Yep.
There's not really any context for it. You know, there's nothing to. There's
nothing okay. To what really, about time travel?
That's heavy.
Okay.
Back to the like future. It. I don't know.
I like it.
The flux
why
capacitor.
Why is everything heavy in the future? Is there something?
Is something wrong with the Earth's gravitational field in 1985? Yeah.
What?
I'm sure in 1985 you can get plutonium at any corner store. See, all you got to do is pull the string, Mike. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you notice how those are reversed in three. It's Doc Brown who says that's heavy.
Yes.
And it's Michael J. Fox who says Great Scott.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, brilliant.
All right. Next.
Fail, great.
Good to go. Scott. Here we go. David Brown, also known as David the Alien. And this scares me.
Jesus Christ, yeah. This is long.
And the subject line was wall of text. Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to be Yoda.
Yeah,
there.
Pretty much.
He's even got... Oh, right, yeah. Okay. So, I think he's got chapters.
A word of advice to the people out on the interweb. Don't try to be Yoda.
Yeah, don't try to be Yoda. So here we go. Without further
ado... We're not going to interrupt you, Greg. We're not going to interrupt you.
I appreciate it.
Even though I just did.
The wall of text has returned.
Go.
We're going to let you talk, though.
Sorry. It's all in the email, right there. Okay. Ran out of time to send an email last week of any note due to being ridiculously busy. Wife's grandma passed away about 10, 12 days ago now, so with that and everything else going on has gone, it was really difficult to get. See, I'm not even going to read this right, but I'm just going to speed through it, so here we go. Much of anything done, I was solely being there for her as much as I physically could. My mom, and it is my mom, not my mom, is visiting right now, which was... And no, is a pleasant back-off surprise as she is on her way to Orlando, Florida for her annual work meeting. If this is not making any sense to anybody else, that's okay because it's not making sense to me.
Now we got like a diary. This is just a diary.
She got here on Saturday. Not on her. She got here on Saturday.
Oh, my God. She got there. Oh.
And it's still until Wednesday, so it was great to see her, and she kept
–
And she has – see, my eyes are going cross right now. She has kept my wife entertained greatly. Okay, so the crux of the first block of text, grandma passed, sad.
Yeah.
Mom visited, kept wife busy, plus for David. As far as gaming, well, I haven't done much at all the past 2 weeks, yet he is going to list a gazillion games. FIFA 11. Just got the Chivo for playing 500 games with the Virtual Pro. I think I'm up to 594 now. Boom. Done. Dead Space 2. Shouldn't really mention, but only managed a chapter. Pure Football. Yep. Still have this crap game from Gamefly, and believe it or not, for all its flaws, I'm actually liking it. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. This game is what I have played the most online and in the career. Wrapped up all the DLC and regular Chivos for this the other day and maybe over the weekend. Just have the Porsche DLC ones to get, which came out today, Tuesday, for 560 points. See, I don't even need to talk about this stuff. A complete ripoff of the Lambo pack, the Porsche pack, but I really see the Lambo pack was better, I guess, than the Porsche pack. I'm just going to stop talking.
Wow.
Unless you are really into a game, I would just wait and the DLC goes on sale. That's smart advice. He tells you about what's in the Porsche pack, but it's cars.
We don't need to.
Yeah. All right.
Let me guess.
911 Porsches. Turbos.
Yep. Porsches.
Yeah.
Done.
They go fast.
Yep. He did say, I believe his dad had a 911, which my dad and I managed a few years ago to get up to about 171 miles an hour on Highway 684, which CPM might know as it is in New York. So, Mr. Matthew, have you ever been on this highway?
I have.
Have you ever traveled 174 miles on that highway?
Per hour, no.
Thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Then you are inferior to David the Alien, just for the record. Let it be shown. All right, moving on.
Let it be written, lest it be forgotten.
I can honestly say that I am surprised to see Fight Night Champion having a higher Metacritic score than Dragon Age 2. Is
really?
Fight Night really that good, or has Dragon Age 2 fallen short?
I've got to check this. Do we know?
Check on it. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, that's surprising.
He is excited for Torchlight on Wednesday and plans on getting more points either tonight or tomorrow, just so we know, so he can buy it. Good to know. I do have a question. Believe it or not, he has a question for us. I have right now a 120 gigabyte hard drive on my 360, and I'm really close to not having any space left. I think I have 10 gigabytes left, and there is no way that will get me through the rest of the year. Do I either buy a new hard drive, 250 gig, for $200, and run the risk of something happening to the Xbox in the near future, or buy a new Xbox for $400, or better still, what would you guys do? Wife is all for it, by the way, either one, as long as it seems to be the logical solution. Okay.
I'll answer this one.
Go for it.
Delete some shit.
Yeah, that was kind of my suggestion, was to delete some stuff off the hard drive, because clearly that, 120 gigs should be more than enough. You probably have some installed games on there that you're not using anymore, so I would just go back
probably
through.
Probably got some like updates of games that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
And Clear your cash.
Now, that all said, if the wife's on board for it, I would just buy a new console to go alongside the old console.
Oh, if she's on board, just buy another one.
Why not?
Yes. Continue to line the pockets of the evil corporation.
Yes.
I'll go back on the Metacritic, or do you want to do that after the email?
We should finish it.
Let's talk about the Metacritic real quick.
Metacritic. Oh, okay.
Metacritic, Dragon Age 2 has got 83 Metascore, and Fight Night Champion has 86, so it's beat by 3 points.
What's the uncertainty?
There's 22 positive reviews. These are the critics' reviews, and there's 4 mixed reviews for Dragon Age 2. So there's you think there's an expectancy level, right, with Dragon Age 2, you know, and a Fight Night is just a fighting game. So how much, I mean, if they add a story, I mean, you know, they know how to make a fighting engine. So I think people were shocked about how, you know, how good the story might have been. So I think it's just people don't like the fact that Dragon Age 2 has changed, and people like the fact that Fight Night's changed. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that could be.
There's only one mixed review for Fight Night.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what they've done with Fight Night was definitely all for the positive. They actually added a story to it.
Yeah, good idea.
Can't go wrong there. All right, so he finishes up. Have a great show. David the Alien out. But wait.
Wait, there's more.
There is more. Wall of Text Part 2. That really was the subject line. I forgot to add my original email that I have been playing quite a bit of Medal of Honor. He's just updating us. And actually liking it a lot. Only been playing the multiplayer side, but having fun and beginning to learn the maps and different game modes, etc. I haven't heard anyone speak in about 8 hours or so that I played, so I'm not sure what I'm missing. Or if no one really is talking. Either way, having some mindless fun, not caring about kill-death ratios, and winning, just enjoying experience, which is overall good.
I'm winning.
I'm
by winning.
I'm crazy winning.
He wins here and he wins there, yeah.
I'm on a drug called David the Alien. You can't handle it.
You can't handle the truth.
Woo, unplug this bastard.
All right, let's move on. Next email. And by the way, David, thank you for the email.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, we appreciate the emails.
Shorten the email, Dave.
So much information.
Yeah.
We don't need to know about your family, I'm sure. It's very nice that your mom's come down to see, and it's very sad about your grandma, but we don't need to know.
I did purposely keep out the part where he talks about his new hairstyle. Yeah.
I hope you're joking.
I am joking. All right, move on. Let's go. Next email.
Moving on. A good friend of the show who we've not heard from in a while, Mr. Markanix, a.k.a. Markovich, has emailed the show. And he says, hello, guys. I've plucked up some courage to send in an email. Obviously not been up to emailing the show since the tragic events of early February. My reason for emailing is just to say a massive thank you to all the members of Gaming for the Elderly, the gamesmen, and the veteran gamers who have sent us messages of support, cards, and made donations in memory of my son, Daniel. It was truly amazing to get cards from all over the world, many from the U.S., and even one from Australia. Oh, and thank you to Parsnip for initially writing in to the show to inform you guys. I think it was show 102. Greg, thank you for the tribute you read out. You were very professional in reading it, and I know it can't have been easy for you. It was very moving and had all of us in tears. Anyway, enough thanking, and I don't want to bring a downer to the show. Just wanted to show my appreciation to the wonderful communities associated with this fine podcast. Love to you all, Mark, Jenny, and Jason. Well, Mark, thank you for writing in.
I am genuinely happy that Mark has written in. I haven't heard from Mark since the incident. But with all the seriousness aside, right, you might cry during this podcast for a different reason, because it's just been a journey, let's say. But thank you, Mark. I'm so happy that Mark's written in. That has actually made my day that he's written in, because I haven't heard anything from him for a while. So it's good to hear Mark again.
It is wonderful to hear from Mr. Mark Wright. We always look forward to your emails.
Yes, yep, we do indeed. And his was the last email we got in. And came in just under the wire, so I was happy to include it in. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks again for everybody for writing in. And we have some codes we're going to give out to our emailers. So I will be sure to pass those on to you. So keep an eye out in your inbox. A little indie.
Donated boy? Who are the donated boy?
You know, if you'd give me a chance there, my friend, just give me a chance. Yeah. I'm trying to drag things out as much as I can. Mr. Quanrian. Famously known for his indie game reviews over at the VeteranGamers.uk podcast.
Hey, I'm going to go quickly here from Quanrian.
Yeah, he gave us some codes, and so we wanted to distribute those out to our participants. So, again, thank you, Quanrian. Apparently, it's like a gay porn game. I'm not positive. It's called, I think...
What game is it? It's
Love Hurts? Gay
it's,
porn.
It's, if you want to hear what we think about on the Retro Gamers, then, it's a funny game. I'll say that. It's got a good sense of humor.
So. Oh, there you go. And it's probably not about gay porn. It's just about porn.
No, it's quite the opposite, actually. It's about straight relationships.
All right.
Is that the opposite to gay porn?
Yeah. Let's move on.
Or is it fish? Is fish the opposite to gay porn? I think it's fish.
I have no idea. What I do know is that the gaming events at the Gaming for the Elderly community are getting ramped back up. So check the calendar for your Friday racers and your Sunday shooters. And the veteran gamers will be playing Left 4 Dead 1. Going old school this Sunday at 6 p.m. GMT. So join them. Have some zombie smashing fun. And
Brains.
Happy birthdays. Brains. Smoker. I don't think that's what he says, but whatever. Happy birthday to Dauntless Ansible.
Gamera. Can I help you out there?
Gamera 65. Thank you. Help me out with this one too, because I messed it up last
time.
Luzami. Geekfeak 123, Derv B, Hayes Own. Happy birthday to you all. And welcome to new members, Lucky JB, John Vela Texas, Platts-C, and Casper the Friendly Ghost. And welcome back to Henson 2003, rejoining the community. Good to see you, Will.
Yes.
Yes. And that's the new events and the birthdays and the new members.
And, oh my God, we are upon the closing note time. This is like, we're done with the podcast. Let's just kind of wrap it up here. Emails, damn. Mike, if you're going to email the show.
Yes, if you want to email the show, it's ocpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Keep an eye on the Twitter. I'm sure somebody's going to read that out soon, but keep an eye on the Twitter for the question of the week, or join the G4TE and check the forums for the question of the week, and then you can email the show, or just email us about anything you want.
Whatever
you want.
Yeah, you know, send us your daily journal. David the Alien does it. Why not you?
But don't make it too long, though, please.
David, we're giving you a hard time. We do appreciate the emails. We also...
I love you, Dave, but, you know, come on.
Twitter, if you're going to send us the old Twitter, it would be at @OC_podcast. And just send us a tweet. Tell us you love us. Yeah. iTunes and Zune reviews, we certainly do wish to have some of those. We haven't checked them in a little while, so we'll be sure to check in on it next week. So that is your cue, if you haven't given us one before, to give us one this week. So get on there, give us a review. And that being said, if you know you're looking for kind of podcast information, there's a great site. It's called vghub.net, and I'm just going to let this speak for it right here.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Video are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
Yeah. So check it out.
I was thinking about that, Greg. I was thinking about that trailer.
Too many people say.
No one says that.
No one says that.
Wait. What? No, what you should do is you should delete the first sentence of that trailer where it says, if you like this podcast, and just start right away with, there's another website you should check out. Because I don't think
like this podcast.
Anyone likes this podcast anymore. They're done.
That could very well be the case. Hey, I'm going to give shout-outs to start off here. I want a big shout-out to ITF Diesel and Brass Monkey for this weekend basically being my Blops buddies. Played a lot of Blops with them and had a lot of fun, and actually got in some game time with a good friend of mine, Roush Stage 3.
And, Roush.
Yeah, good old Roush. I've known him for quite some time, and I not only converted him into an Xbox 360 person, but I also converted him into a Ford person. He used to be a Chevy guy. Yeah. I did that to him. I let him ride in my Cobra Mustang, and he went out and bought a Stage 3 Roush. All because of it.
Terrible.
Mr. Matthew, why don't you go next?
I will go next. You clowns for all the nonsense that this adventurous podcast has been. Rich and Rich for sleeping and and having some shut eye. And especially Rich Primrose for his lovely space-aged Mylar-lined Velcro sleeping bag, which is always a pleasure to listen to. My lovely wife for letting me podcast on Tuesday nights. And to Mark Canix for writing in. Good to hear from you. That's me done. Mike.
Yo, I will shout out Richard Primrose because he sent me something in the post, which is brilliant. If you haven't followed me on Twitter or anything, just go on. I'm plugging it for reals now. VeteranGamers.co.uk and go down a little bit and you'll see a blog post called Look What I Got in the Mail. And you'll see the picture of the poster that Skull made for me, and it's kind of like a mock version. I think it's PlayStation Magazine UK, but instead of saying it PlayStation, it's a full poster, like the proper like poster paper. It's got LA Noir on it, which is brilliant, and it says Chin Station, and it also says Chinny shoots his bolt over a rock star yet again. And there's a Peter Molyneux thing on there. Go on veterangamers.co.uk and have a look. It's very funny. And I can't – I was so made up when I saw it. I couldn't believe it. I'm going to put it in a glass frame. I think it's brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm going to keep it forever.
It was pretty awesome.
Treasure it. It's so cool.
So
– oh, sorry. I'll go another shout-out. Okay. Sorry. I forgot what was another shout-out to Indifference from the Game Enthused podcast. because I was listening to his podcast the other day, and not only does he have a very soothed, sexy voice, he plays these songs on the kind of little breaks right. and stuff. And I knew some of them. I knew the Bees Marquee one, but I didn't know it by name. And I said to him, "You've got to send me these songs. Like, they're bugging me. Like, I know these songs." And he did have a Twitter, so I'd like to thank him for those. And some of the songs were Q-Tip, Believe, De La Soul, Bees Marquee, Just a Friend. And they're really cool songs, so I'm glad that he sent them. So I've got them now.
Excellent. Our riches, even though they left us early, they did have a couple shout-outs they wanted to say. So cover it real quickly for them. Mr. Webster had this to say, Sponge Cake. Thanks, guys, for having me out, although he may have been tired at the time because he said having be out and be seeing you. So, yeah, thank you for that, Mr. Webster. And then last but not least, we've got Mr. Richard Primrose. And really, his shout-out was simple. He asked, if you choke a Smurf, what color does it turn? Mike?
Purple.
Hmm. Or the color of money.
The color
yeah,
of money.
It wasn't really a funny joke, but he was tired.
No.
From a film, yeah. right?
Yes.
Well, it is.
It is a film. The choking a Smurf is not from the film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. We are done.
Primrose knows how to stop a podcast when he's not on the podcast. That's a talent.
That boy has got talent beyond talent.
That boy
yeah.
did it.
No famous quote this week. I think we're just tired. We're going to go. We're done.
We're tired. I got on the old Xbox Live thingy, and there was a little thing that said get the Leonardo da Vinci disappearing pack or whatever for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And I was like, ooh, some Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I'll have that. And when I went to the menu, it was not to be had. And I was sad. Apparently, it was the disappearing DLC. You know?
Yeah, it was. It was an ironic joke from Microsoft.
I'm going to do my best.
I'm talking to Smooth on Skype. He's there. We should get him in. Let's get him in.
No.
Come on.
Hey, I don't play games.
At least for a guest spot. Come on.
You want to bring him in? We can put him in this. Yeah. Just like we did with Onger.
Yeah. He can come on the outtakes.
Are you recording? You got to wait until you get here to record.
No, it'll record just like we did last time.
Nah, that's the guy. Nah.
Right.
There she is.
And she's recording. So I'm just going to start up with the emails and just go from there.
The emails.
How good is that now, Greg? We've got no buzzing noise constantly in the background.
That's brilliant. Here we go. Dad?
See, I got my little snide comment in the 3 seconds before the recording actually stops, and now you've lost it.
But I haven't. I've got it.
No, you lost it.
The listeners will never know Chris's true motives for being here now.
That's right.
He's an evil genius.
Yeah.
I was about to reveal to them the cunning plan to take over the world, yeah. And they missed. And it's Greg's
Pinky
fault.
In the brain is a motif of what Chris Matthews' life is.
It is. Pinky in the brain was actually modeled after me and DeLacy.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 106 of Your Overseas Connection. This is the official podcast of the G4TE.com forums. Fuck off, Mr. Richard Webster. We'll start again.
What is he telling us to fuck off for?
Because I'm watching him type. It's fucking with me. All right, let's do this again.
We dropped somebody.
Richard Webster. It was Mr. Webster.
You told him to fuck off, so he did.
Yeah.
I didn't mean literally.
Hello?
Go ahead and give your
Anybody.
Shout out.
You make it up.
Rich would like to shout out.
shout out to all you lot, because I love you loads, and now I'm going to dream about you.
If you do fall asleep, Rich, my share is going to be to you, because of what you did for me.
Yeah, baby.
I hope to push you all off the track. Been playing Rift, and I have been thinking of changing my gamer tag. Need some help.
Battlefield 3.
Excuse me?
I want to see Battlefield 3.
Okay. You're just going to stop right here.
I think Rich said that like 5 minutes ago, and it just now got...
I don't know. Don't put this in the show.
No. Relax. Greg, it's just because when was the last time a British film won the Oscars?
Well, when was the last time a British film deserved to be even mentioned? Come on.
When was there a British film?
I was being ironic, guys. The King's Speech won Best Picture.
You're so clever.
Great film. Yeah. Great film.
Shit.
Yeah. You do look a bit like Pinky there, Greg.
Oh, you asshole. Just shuts toad up my nose.
So, unfortunately, the very last piece of the outtakes has been lost. And I wanted to bring special attention to it because we had Big Smooth 8, Mr. J.F. Gratton from the old Couch Mercenaries podcast had come in and kind of crashed the podcast for just a little bit, similar to what had happened with Mr. Steve Conger last week. And unfortunately, I can't bring you back the actual audio, but I can do a quick recreation for you. It went something kind of like this.
Hey, 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 I'm Big Smooth 8, and I love waffles. I love being Canadian, and I got me as a new girlfriend. She's a moose, and we live together out in the woods. It's wonderful.
And that is how it pretty much went.